So here's something you may not know about me. My wife knows this, but I have determined over the years of watching the show Survivor, you ever watch Survivor? That I would never last more than a couple days on Survivor. I would be voted off probably first or second, because what's the rule of Survivor when you first get on the island? What don't you want to be known as? Leader, that's right. You want to be a leader. And I know I wouldn't be able to resist when there was no food at the fire and people weren't making the shelter right, and I would have to jump in and help. Even being self-aware of that, I wouldn't be able to. It's just the way God made me. I've been leading since I was in fifth grade football. I was a captain of the football team, and I've been spiritually leading, and that's what we're going to talk about, life-giving spiritual leadership, for 40 years now, in some way or another. And I felt like this last core, there'd be some things that I want to share with you guys and just try to encourage you with what's coming up, why we need spiritual leadership in the church. And by the way, if you are a leader in our church, you're a pastor, a deacon, a small group leader, you're a ministry leader, you lead anything in our church, God bless you and thank you for that. We couldn't do this without you. We really couldn't. God has blessed us with some great leaders. Let me just share this with you. In 1913, a guy named Ernest Shackleton put this ad in the London Times. He said, "Men wanted for hazardous darkness and constant danger, safe return, doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success." That was an ad. And evidently, thousands of people, thousands of men showed up wanting to answer this ad. And it was appealing somehow. And I've often thought, what is it about people that they would read that and think, that's what I want to do. I want to do something. I want to be on an adventure. And I wondered, what would Jesus say if he was going to write kind of a similar ad? And I wonder if he wouldn't say something like this. And yes, we're all going to think of Jesus as the chosen guy for the rest of our lives. I wonder if he would write something like this. "Men and women wanted for difficult task of helping to build my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those working with you. You will face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor, and your full reward will not come till after all your work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, and even your life. Come sign up." I don't know if we get thousands of people, but that's the call that we have as leaders and potential leaders of the church. I believe the church is at a crossroads. I believe our church is at a crossroads in our culture, in our world, in the time that we live. And I believe we need spiritual leadership right now and going into the future. And here's how I kind of define that. Leadership is the need of the hour for the church of God. The task before the church today is awesome. Spiritual leadership is, quote, taking responsibility for the spiritual well-being of others. Having men and women who possess this character quality is essential in order to fulfill God's purposes for the church in this world. So that's you. That's you and I. If we're leading anything spiritually, taking responsibility for our children, for people around us, in our small groups, in the church, that's who we are. And we need life-giving spiritual leaders in the church. And we're going to need it more and more as our culture gets darker and darker. And here's why. We're going to look at, real quick, why we need life-giving leaders in the church. We've talked about what a leader is, what qualities, the character qualities of leaders. I just want to talk just briefly about why we need spiritual leaders in our church. And I want to encourage you and thank you for what you've done and encourage you to continue on, because we're going to need it. And I think you know that. First of all, we're going to look at this. There's trouble ahead for the church. There's no doubt that we are heading into some trouble in our culture and in our world as far as the church is concerned. Life is going to get harder and harder for the church. And I'm not the kind of guy that just, you know, sits around and worries about what's coming. But I think Jesus warned us over and over, didn't he? In the end times, things are going to get harder. And the world is becoming more and more hostile toward not just each other, but toward the church, toward people of faith. And they won't put up with us much longer. That's my belief. And I think the Bible bears that out. I think our current affairs, the culture of our world, just even reading the news yesterday, I don't know if you read this, but up just to our neighbors up to the north, a pastor and his brother were arrested and drug away from their church for simply having a meeting because the health officials there, because of COVID and whatnot, have restricted churches from meeting, and they said, forget this, we're meeting. And they were drug away yesterday, this was in the news, and arrested. Now that's in Canada, that's not in Nazi Germany. No one would ever, I never would have expected that to ever happen. Could that happen here? I don't know. I never thought it would happen in Canada. They'd be handcuffing and dragging pastors away from meeting with their people. And then we have our cancel culture. We have things like critical race theory being taught in a lot of schools. There's so much anger and violence that we see daily. Our culture is crashing down on people of faith. And I don't know if you've seen this. I would, you know, our national leaders of the M28 movement that we're part of, we watch this together, and I'd seen it before, but it is fairly sobering to me. And if you watch it, just so you know, there's some foul language, and it's actually somewhat hard to watch at times. It's the story of Nene's Deli in Chicago, which was shut down because this guy, who is a Christian, the family's Christian, they love their neighborhood. This was a world-renowned deli in Chicago. It was shut down because they wouldn't say the right words about some political aspect. People wanted to say something on their social media page, and they wouldn't do it. And then thousands of people lined up, threatened their lives. They had to leave town in the middle of the night, and they've not been able to go back. They had to move out of state because they wouldn't say the words that people wanted them to say. And they're Christians, and they preach the gospel, and people hated them for that. It's 48 minutes. I think it would be good for you to watch it, personally. The world is becoming hostile, and you're going to see it here. You won't believe how hostile the world gets for simply not thinking the way they want you to think. All right, but that's the world we live in. And not only that, our biblical values are being undercut. They've been under attack, whether it's gender or sex or homosexuality or male leadership in the family, in the church, or marriage or parenting. You can't have a contrary thought in this world without being shut down and canceled and attacked. Even on the most basic issue for the last 6,000 to 10,000 years. How many sexes are there? How many genders are there? That basic question, this biology 101, if I was to tell you that the Bible says in the beginning God made them male and female, some of you would even get stirred up and maybe want to write me a bad email. The thing that is as basic as it gets, there's male and there's female. Today you can't even say that. How messed up is our world? But we do say it because the Bible says it. Our biblical values are being undercut. Then you have government overreach, power grabs, COVID, shutdowns, massive deficit spending. We're under attack. And we need life-giving spiritual leaders. It doesn't take a genius to see that we're headed for trouble. But it does take Jesus to remind us about that. Jesus warns us to be ready for trouble, doesn't he? Look at this verse, John 16, 1 through 4. Check this out. Jesus said, "All this I've told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue." Now, you think, okay, so maybe they'll shut our church down. We'll have to go underground. We'll have to do house churches. We can handle that. No. When Jesus says they'll put you out of the synagogue, you got to understand the first century, that meant you were put out of your family. You were an outcast. You lost your job. You lost everything when you were out of the synagogue because it was a very religious culture. Out of the synagogue doesn't mean, oh, you just can't go to church on Sunday or Saturday for them. It means you've lost everything. No one will give you a job. No one will talk to you. You've lost everything. Jesus said that's going to happen. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, get this, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They'll think, oh God, I love you so much, I'm going to kill these Christians. That's going to happen. Jesus told us, trouble is coming. Why will they do it? They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I warned you. This is coming. This is not just fear-mongering. Jesus warned us, and we should remember that, and I think the time is coming when the world is becoming more hostile. Our biblical values are being undercut or under attack, and Jesus warns us that we're going to have trouble. He says it specifically in verse 33, chapter 16, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's the good news. Even when we're in the midst of trouble, we can have peace and know that Jesus has overcome the world. Men and women, trouble is coming for the church. We need life-giving leaders to help lead through this. So number two, God has a plan. Even though the world's falling apart, he's provided a solution. First, the local church. The local church is the answer. The local church, the expression of Jesus through the local church, is the hope of the world. It says in Matthew 16, 18b, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not overcome it. The church is going to survive. It will. We will survive what's going on. And like Bill Hybels said, he says, the local church is the hope of the world. Therefore, spiritual leadership is the greatest need in the world. And I believe that. We believe that here. We need your spiritual leadership. We need your help. We need to lock arms with like-minded spiritual leaders to get through this. So if you're already serving in the church, if you're already serving as a leader of some sort, thank you. That's number one. Number two, buckle up. Buckle up and be prepared. Number three, we need you. Is Paul Stoddard, are you here tonight? No? Randomly, Paul will Marco Polo me once in a while. It's just a video chat thing, and I can watch it whenever I want. It's kind of fun getting them from him. And we've been talking recently just about these things and how the church is going to be, we're going to be in trouble. Trouble is coming. And we've kind of laughed together about the idea of, you know, hey, maybe we can be, you know, cellmates together in prison when we go to prison. And it really has made me think, and in my quiet times, oftentimes I sing hymns, and I'm thinking, honestly, I've had these thoughts. I need to memorize these hymns. I need to memorize these hymns, and I need to review my verses so that when that happens, I'll be prepared spiritually to refresh myself. And so Paul and I can be singing hymns together in jail. And I fully expect that to happen. I do. But God has a plan. The local church is a plan. So thank you for serving the local church. Number two, selfless spiritual leaders are needed. Life-giving. Not selfish, but life-giving leaders. I like what E.M. Bounds, he's the author of Power Through Prayer. Oh, wait a minute. I got this backwards here. A.W. Tozer, he says, a true and safe leader is likely to be one who has no desire to lead, but is forced into a position of leadership by the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit and the press of external situation. That's an unselfish leader. That's someone who says, God, I'll do whatever you want. I personally would rather just serve a leader. I would rather make a leader successful. I find there's more power in that position, personally. I've discovered that over the years, that to get underneath a leader and help them succeed, whatever they do, just be in the shadows, be behind the scenes, and supporting my leaders. I find that to be a more satisfying, but oftentimes I'm pushed into leadership positions. That's the way it's been over the years. And I've told God, I'll do whatever you want. I'll serve behind the scenes quietly. I'll clean the toilets in the bathroom, and no one will know. But if you want me to do this, if you want me to lead out front, I'll do that. Whatever it takes, oftentimes it's comes on you by the external pressure, the needs. I just tell God, I'll do whatever you want. That's a servant leader. That's a non-selfish leader. And you know, if you've led in our church for very long, that there aren't a lot of perks for being a leader at the Rock Church. There aren't. You may get a hat. I think we gave one 15 years ago. We give a hat. We'll give you a t-shirt if you want one. We'll do that. What's that? And it's next on my list. We do give ice cream once in a while. Tonight, we'll give you some ice cream. But God needs you to lead, and we need you to lead with us. You got to be humble. You can't be self-seeking. You got to be seeking the good of Jesus. And I think I had these quotes. No, I didn't even get my quote in. So let me go back here. I'm going to read you this quote. I like what Ian Bounds said. He said, men are looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. Men are looking for methods. God's looking for men to lead, to give life-giving leadership. And we've had, what I love about our church is that we've had long-standing, long-term leaders in our church that we've led together for 15, 20 years together, some of us. And I love that. I love the fact that you are humble, you're not seeking your own good, but seeking the good of other people. So that's, I wanted to spend about 15 minutes on that. I've gone a little bit over, so let me just summarize. Men and women, as far as leadership, as we go into the summer and we think of the fall and think of all that God has ahead of us, understand that God's warning is there's trouble ahead. But the good news is Jesus is in control, and he will give us peace even through that. Through the trouble. We don't fret it, but we don't want to get caught off guard either. We don't want to be caught unawares that trouble is coming. We can see it. It's almost at our doorstep. God's plan, what is it? It's the church. His plan is the church to be uncompromising in our biblical stance, what we believe, to stand strong with the Bible. The world needs us to stand strong. Amen? It does. And God's strategy, spiritual leaders, that give life, and there's a blessing, isn't there, for spiritual leaders who lead well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith of Christ Jesus. So you and I were blessed if we lead well. Last quote, if the church is to be mighty, she must be led by mighty men, men and women with a passion for spiritual leadership. And I believe God wants the church to be mighty. So now what? Again, if you're already serving, thank you. If you're new and you're wondering, how can I serve, talk to us. There's plenty of ways to serve in the church. I mean, my wife had a volunteer form in the bulletin this week. That's one way you can serve. But there's lots of other ways. But use the gifts God's given you, and we look forward to seeing all that God has and the blessing that comes with being a life-giving spiritual leader. Amen? Amen. All right. Going to have ice cream in the cell. I'll pray for our ice cream. How would that be? Lord, we thank you for this time. And thank you so much that you give us gifts of spiritual leaders and how that's going to be needed more and more as the world becomes more hostile and our values are under attack. God, I pray that you would help us lead cheerfully, help us lead wisely, help us lead in a way that honors you and blesses you. We thank you for this time, and I pray that you raise up lots more leaders in our church in the future. We love you, and we thank you for the ice cream that you're going to give us, and thank you for the core this past year, for the things you've taught us, for even the times we've had to pivot and change things up. You are in it all, and we really thank you for that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.